glad you are watching online or will watch this coming week or days following. And we just bless you today in the name of Jesus. Let's jump right in. There was a family that was having a discussion in their home, and mom and dad were talking, and the wife says, "Honey, would you drop the kids off for school today? I'm very busy. I've got a bunch of errands to run. I need you to do this today." The husband responds, "I've got a pretty hectic day myself, but I guess I'll do it if you need me to. But hurry up, kids, let's go. We got to get going." With urgency, he yells down the hall. So dad and his children jump into the car, and they're off and running. The busy father glances at his watch. "Why is traffic so slow this morning?" he says. "Certainly people should drive safe, not speed, but this little old man in front of us, he must be sightseeing. What's wrong with this guy?" Dad's getting frustrated. "I'll just pass him as soon as I can. Take a shortcut, maybe." Oh no. Wouldn't you know it? The car approaches a railroad crossing just as the lights begin to flash and the safety gate comes down. Dad's first thought, "Oh, are you kidding me right now?" I might be putting a few of my own words in there. "Are you kidding me right now? We're going to be held up by a train and we're going to be late?" So his dad is fuming in the front seat, anxiously tapping the steering wheel with his finger. You know what I'm talking about. You've done this before. Tap, 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 tap. Reviewing in his mind how to make up some time. A sweet, childish voice calls out from the back seat, "Daddy, Daddy, we're so lucky. We get to watch the train go by." Isn't that good? Listen, I'm telling you, here's the reality. That little girl understood what it meant to be present in the moment. She saw the opportunity to appreciate, even as a little child, a train going by. Where most of us like dad, we're just like dad. We're anxious. We're not living in the present moment. We're not making ourselves available to enjoy the children in the back seat. We're fuming, we're frustrated, and we're ready for that train to get by so we can get to our destination. This morning, I want to continue to talk on the topic of connections. And the idea behind our series is we want to see us in a place where we're reconnecting ourselves relationally. We're in this very awkward season right now, and we need to pay attention to what's going on. We need to pay attention to what God's trying to say, and we need to stay connected to God and to others. Today I want to talk about the idea of being present and available. And I'm going to take my cue this morning from the Old Testament. If you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at 10 verses. We're not going to read them all. We're just going to highlight a few things from the first 10 verses of Exodus chapter 3. We're talking about connection today. We're talking about this idea that we can live in the present and be available so God can speak to us. Let me read these first few verses with you this morning because I feel like it's really important to set the tone for where we want to go. Verse 1, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now listen to this, verse 3. Now then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." There's a few things that we can glean from the life of Moses this morning as it relates to us connecting to God in a way that is possible, in a greater capacity than even maybe we feel today. God is speaking all the time. The problem isn't whether or not he's speaking. The issue of whether or not we are present in the moment to hear the voice of God, to listen to what he's trying to communicate. He is someone that's longing to have relationship with us, to speak to us, and to release his goodness and kindness to us. Let me share a few thoughts with you regarding the life of Moses that relates to being present. Check this out. The very first thing I think we need to read and catch this morning is this found in verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. You know what happened here? Moses got really curious. The first thing I want you to hear is the idea of curiosity. Moses was curious as to why there was this mystery taking place right before his eyes. You see, he was leading his father-in-law's sheep towards a destination, somewhere to the north of where he was. He was a shepherd in that moment. And while he was moving in one direction, off to the side, there was this mystery taking place. The mystery was what? A bush that was burning but not being consumed. It says he literally stopped moving forward, leading his father-in-law's sheep. He stopped that movement and he turned aside to see what was going on. I'd like to suggest to you that he was curious. Why is curiosity important to our connecting with God and also being present and available in the moment? You see, what brought a pause of direction in the life of Moses was this. His curiosity connected him ultimately to his destiny. To be curious means to be eager to learn. It means to want to know or to be inquisitive. I think we lose something as Christ followers by not being curious. We lose something by not taking a moment and being present like the little girl and watching the train go by. She stopped and she was just enamored with the train going by. But we get caught up in the day-to-day. We get caught up with the agenda of the day. We get caught up in our lives with that meeting that's coming. Now, right now, I realize we're all, for the most part, we're at home. We're sheltered in place. But as that begins, that fog of this pandemic begins to lift, and we begin to move back out into our lives in some capacity, I'd like to suggest to you today that in the midst of this time, you would reconnect with God in a whole new way. That you would stop and be present with him right now. That you would stop and make yourself available for God to speak. That you would stop and be curious about the things that you've never been curious about before. Why? Why was it that curiosity moved the hand of God in Moses' life? Because curiosity is how we learn the nature of things. To be curious, to be ever present, both in our pursuit of God and our relationship with others, is divinely important as it relates to us learning the things that God's trying to teach. Curiosity. Curiosity. Why are babies curious about touching things they should not touch? Don't touch that stove, it's hot. Ah, they cry. Why is it, what would it be like and feel like to swim with sharks? I don't know. Never done it before. Might try it. Be kind of fun. Where's God in the midst of the pandemic? I'm curious to know, where is God in this thing? People are asking that right now. Curiosity. What would it be like to climb the highest mountain in the world? Elon Musk has got to have a huge amount of curiosity. What would it like to live on Mars? What would it like to be able to transport people on this spaceship and take them to another planet? How many know that takes curiosity? It takes an ability to want to go after something, see something, pursue something that hasn't been pursued before. There's a story of about a man named, his name is Steve Hughes. Steve Hughes was 25 years ago, he was the CEO of Sun Life Strategic Partners and was walking through an orange juice plant when he had an epiphany that turned into a $500 million business. Check this out. Hughes had just become executive vice president of Tropicana, and he was touring facilities to try to learn about the business. He was in a plant and noticed some of the workers on a break. They were near a manufacturing line that separated the pulp from the orange juice. He noticed that they were taking the excess pulp, normally a waste product, and putting it back into a special batch of juice for their personal consumption. That's funny, Hughes thought to himself. His curiosity piqued. Some managers would probably have kept moving. Instead, because of his curiosity, he stopped and asked them why they were creating this overly pulpy version of orange juice. It makes it taste like it was fresh squeezed, the workers told him. Hughes tasted some, and he agreed. Shortly thereafter, Hughes led the launch of Tropicana Grove Stand, a new extra pulpy beverage with a tagline, "The taste of fresh squeezed orange juice." In his first year, Grove Stand achieved $200 million in revenue. After 4 years, it was a $500 million brand, with 90% of those sales representing incremental revenue. What am I trying to say? You never know, if you're not living in the present, what opportunity God might use to speak to you and communicate to you about something he wants you to do, about a person he wants you to have relationship with, about a project that he wants you to launch, about a business that he is interested in you co-laboring with him in. It was curiosity that caused this project to move forward. Moses was curious and found connection with God. His curiosity, if you will, led him to another thought, and that is this. It led him into an investigation. The mystery of the burning bush provoked him to move in a place where he was intrigued by the mystery. It says here that he turned aside, verse 4, to look, and God called to him in the midst of the burning bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said these words, "Here am I." In other words, I would suggest to you this morning that Moses went from curiosity to a place of investigation. And out of that investigation, when he turned aside from his normal duty and he was looking at this mysterious bush that was not burning, but it was on fire, that curiosity moved him into a place where he heard God speak. "Moses, Moses." And his response, "Here am I. Here am I." Friends, I don't know if at that point Moses had actually heard the voice of God before. How did he know who was speaking out of the bush? I've got to assume that there was a sense in that moment of being present with God, and out of his curiosity, that he knew somehow divinely that God was speaking to him. And he said this, I'm here right now. Here am I. I would like to suggest to you that that is being present. Every day of every week of every month, if we can learn to grow in our capacity to say to God, "Not only am I curious about who you are and about what you want me to accomplish in my life, I want to be present with you. I want to be available to you so you can speak and move in my life." To be present and available, we must lean in closer to what or who we are in God. Verse 5 says, God says, "Stop, Moses, hang on, stop. You've leaned in close enough. You're now on holy ground. Remove your shoes. You've now entered a new place of communication and relationship with me. I've now got you into a place where I can communicate my purposes, communicate my heart, communicate my desire for you to affect other people in your life." It took him stopping, going one direction, being curious about a mystery taking place, leaning into that mystery for God to all of a sudden stop and say to him, "Moses." And Moses says, "Here I am, God." In our regaining togetherness as a part of our sermon series, our ability to lean in closer and be present with God requires a "here am I" moment. Not one time, not on a couple of days a week, but ultimately learning every single day of our lives to lean into God and to say, "Here I am, God. What do you want to speak to me today? How do you want to communicate? Out of our being available and present with God, it becomes a little easier to communicate with others by us being present and available with Him. See, when you get to that place when there's no distractions, the sheep that He was tending were no longer a distraction. His family were down at the bottom of the mountain. There was no email, text. There was no Instagram. There was no Facebook. There was none of the distraction we have today that kept Him from hearing God's voice. What are the distractions today that are keeping us from being present? What are the distractions today that are keeping us from hearing the voice of God and having an encounter with Him like Moses had with the burning bush? When we make ourselves available to others, like Moses' encounter with the mystery of the burning bush, we can grow our holy and divinely appointed moments with others. You see, I believe that out of that communion with communication with God, He will divinely direct us to other people that He wants us to communicate with and have relationship with. Some of them will be a reconciliation. Some of them will be a reconnecting. Some of them will be a furthering or a deepening of relationship. But for us to move forward as a people of God, as this cloud begins to rise and we begin to move out as people that love You, God, and love the Father, we're going to have to be intentional with maybe our masks on. I hate masks. I'm just going to tell you right now. Can't stand them. That will not become my new norm. But I can tell you this. Whatever the norm looks like, we have to figure out a way for us to be better at connecting with God, being curious about his kingdom and about the things of the kingdom, leaning into God, pursuing the mysteries of God, and saying, "Here I am, God, speak." And the last thing I think we can learn from the life of Moses as it relates to us and connection, and that's this. We find from curiosity to being present to now we find in verse 10, Moses is a person of great value to God. Here's what it says. "Come now, therefore," this is God speaking, "and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Dude, this is amazing. This is powerful when you find out that out of his divine encounter with God with the burning bush, out of his curiosity, and his saying, "Here I am, God," now, just a few verses later, we find this humble shepherd, a curious and faithful soul, a person who understood what it meant to be present and available, being assigned to lead literally millions of people out of bondage, out of slavery, into the place where they were supposed to pursue and take up their destiny, or the land flowing with milk and honey. Pretty powerful when you think about it. In this, there was a purpose being commanded or communicated in the divine exchange between God and Moses. An assignment was being progressively communicated and related through a curious and present and valuable individual named Moses. A couple more quick thoughts and we'll wrap this up today. By Moses turning aside and pursuing the mystery, Moses was being prepared to be used by God to redeem and restore the people of God. We are designed like Moses to be in community, to be in relationship with one another. It's through our relationships and our partnership with God that we mirror his divine purpose for us here on earth. We can regain togetherness at a whole new level if we will be like Moses. I like that Dos Equis beer commercial. I don't drink beer, but I like the commercial. What's it say? Stay thirsty, my friend. I'd like to change that and say, stay curious, my friend. Stay curious, my friends. Be curious. Be a person who lives in the present. Here I am, God. Here I am. And thirdly, I want to encourage you to be like Moses and understand that you're valuable to the purpose of God here on this earth. Yes, a purpose is a plan for your life. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that as you ponder the life of Moses found out of Exodus chapter 3, you would remember these things. Curiosity led Moses to his divine purpose or destiny. I believe if you will be curious about the things of God, curious about what his word says, curious about Holy Spirit functioning in your life, curious about how the power of Holy Spirit operates inside of you externally, coming from the inside to the outside, how you can release signs and wonders on the planet, curious to know how God can take someone like me, someone like you, and use us. He took Moses, who we read in between the verses was a stutterer. He was afraid. He didn't want to accept the assignment. And yet because he was available and present, God said, I can use a person like this. I know Moses will ultimately do what I'm requiring of him because he took time to look to the side, check out the mystery, and lean in to the presence of God because it was holy ground. Stay curious, stay present, and know that you are valuable to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those that are watching that will watch this broadcast. And I'm asking you, God, that there would be a new level of hunger. There'd be a new level of desire to want to communicate with you. Because the beauty of our relationship with you, God, is not one way. It's a two-way relationship. You speak, we hear, but we also can respond to what you're saying. And in our responding to what you're saying, there's communication going back and forth. Moses understood that at the burning bush experience. And I'm asking God you to give our church family and all those that are watching a burning bush experience out of curiosity, out of turning aside from the daily activity. They look to their left or the right, not out of what was, but out of curiosity to the mysteries of God and say, God, I want what you want for my life. I need what you would have for my journey. And I am saying to you today, here I am, God. Here I am. Send me. Use me. For I recognize, like Moses, I'm a valuable person. You have a destiny and a purpose for my life. So in Jesus' name I pray that blessing on you today. New desire, new passion to want to live for him. In Jesus' name, amen.